Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Revolution Radio. This is Wednesday, May 4th, 2011. How are you all? Don't see anyone in the chat room, but I sure would like to give a shout out to everyone who's listening and who will listen later on to our military, serving, current and past, future, everyone who's training. I want to thank the military's operation for whoever they were able to capture, kill on Sunday, and we're going to be talking a little bit about that this evening. Good evening, guest. And I'd like to start out by just sort of reviewing the events of the week. Tonight I'm going to review the events of the week, offer a little commentary on those events and my view of the supposed Bin Laden murder, or Bin Laden kill, if you will, and various other things. And then we're going to listen to the Alex Jones show, which will be about an hour, with Dr. Fezenik, who will be talking about, a former intelligence specialist, who will be talking about the fact that we don't know who was actually killed, and he'll be offering his experience. So Before we do that, I would like to read you, would like to just go over a couple of things. In the last week, it's been quite interesting, in the last month or so, Obama released yet another on Wednesday, last Wednesday, Obama released another forged or fake or constructed electronic image of a now long form certification of live birth, which now Hawaii claims is the quote unquote birth certificate, with lots of very troubling information on there. Notice again such the furor in this that everyone went after it, of course, and determined that the document was a fake. And from that standpoint, Obama runs off and does a whole bunch of other things, but we'll never actually have a document to analyze. Well, I want to point out a couple of things on that a little bit later, but suffice it to say that the document is, that the electronic image, once again, is a fake. We don't know what he got from Hawaii. We don't know where the record, the vital record of his adoption is. We don't know where that is at all. And from Indonesia. And from that standpoint, then, we don't know actually whether he has any American citizenship. Now, he's running off saying, there, I told you, I'm an American citizen, so now let's move on. And, of course, we know that is one of the major false flags of this whole birth certificate fraud. And it's not even the birth certificate, this whole natural-born citizen fraud, eligibility fraud that he pulled on Americans. What we have is essentially Obama proving once again that his father was born in Kenya when it was the East British Protectorate from the British folks. I think some of the old maps have Kenya on it as well, but it was formerly known as that. But he was born there, and we also know, gee, with the coincidental release of, you know, his immigration records and so forth, that, you know, his father never became an American citizen. They wanted him out of the country. So he has proven he is not a natural-born citizen, something we've already known. But even as you'll see here in this Alex Jones film, everyone will move on from that point that he's sort of, quote-unquote, proven the issue, which we know he really hasn't. So anyway, we had that go on. And then, of course, then the coverage of the royal wedding, which admittedly it was nice, you know, in some ways to see some of that kind of stuff, at least for me personally. But the other events like the NATO's attack on Gaddafi, this assassination attempt that reportedly killed one of Gaddafi's children, again, that is illegal action by the United States. Not only was it done without congressional approval and without any going on address in TV, it was done by an illegal person who had no authority to issue those orders. So anyone who is killed by a U.S. jet has a claim against the United States government because of Obama's illegal orders. I don't know how long it's going to take for people to figure this out, that this is very serious. It has nothing to do with race, that they can laugh all they want. But this is serious stuff about our country, and we are in serious trouble. So also the flight recorders were recovered from the Air France flight that blew up a couple years ago and sank in the Pacific. That's likely to show it was a terrorist attack, and who knows what was happening. There were two terrorists on the plane, known terrorists. They were being tracked. Is that related to the reason, the need to get rid of Libya? Does Libya know something about the French president? Or, you know, this whole kind of drama that's going on is something George Washington warned us about. Don't get involved in this foreign intrigue. At the same time, there are congressional discussions going on about how all of American taxpayer dollars are going to all of these countries that hate our guts. What's up with that? All right. So then there was Orley's case on Monday in the California Superior Court. Arguments were heard by Orly Tates, by Gary Creep, and by the defense. And the defense, of course, was nobody had standing. We do expect them to rule against this case in standing. But I have to say right now that why would we want the Supreme Court to rule on anything? Hi, no nonsense, Nancy. I'm sorry you're having a cold spring over there. It's already 95 degrees here. So sorry to hear that. Come here and warm up. But in any case, this amazing week, we have all of this stuff happening. And then Sunday night, Obama pulls out the Bin Laden death. Now, this was obviously a very necessary thing for Obama because as long as he could do something else to turn away from not only the forgery of this electronic image of the document, but have nobody question natural-born citizenship, nobody question his father's citizenship, that was really important. So, you know, he had to do something that was so big it would make any discussion of that birth certificate ridiculous. And this was the pulling of Bin Laden off ice. I am so distressed because, and what you'll hear in this Alex Jones video is the lies that have been told by our government to the people. I'm distressed about this. If he was dead 10 years ago, what's up with that? Why did they keep him on ice? This is perfect right now. And if Bin Laden is actually a CIA asset, who then is now threatening to kill us? Is it our own government? How perfect. What a setup. They intend to, you know, say that they're going to kill Obama. Again, what a setup. What a perfect setup to invite retaliation to the United States. It's as bad as I think that whoever they killed, the insult of saying, you know, we conducted an Islamic service and we, you know, according to tradition, we dumped him off the bow of a U.S. battleship. Very good. Well, they wanted to get rid of his body and all of that stuff, also all the evidence as to who was actually killed, but also another slap-in-the-face insult. I understand, according to WikiLeaks, that Obama is now going to start leaking all of the photos of the torture, so forth and so on. So at the same time, what we have is, I don't know, I was just going to raise that issue, Nancy, about the military overriding BO and Jared. At the same time, Alterman comes out with another report from the White House insider that the military actually overruled the whole cabal of Jared and Obama, and Obama had to be dragged off the golf course. And Nancy, can you find that link, or do you want me to find that link? But if anyone's interested, it's a link at the, I think it's a different kind of link, and there's another story on this that just came up that I just posted in my website, which I'll find at the break. The drama is something like Jared and Obama were overruled by everybody, and it was Clinton and Gates and essentially Panetta made the decision. Now, if it really is, if it was that decision by the military, then why would Panetta have made it? So I think Panetta maybe has been overruled. And so, you know, at first I thought, no, this can't be because Bin Laden is dead and these guys are playing some other game. Now I begin to think the whole cabal has been overruled. The upshot of the Ulsterman report was that the military would begin to leak information to undermine the effort that happened with whoever was killed on Sunday night. And already they're starting to do that. Let me read you from an excerpt, which I just put in the chat room from the UK Telegraph. Osama bin Laden dead. You remember the photograph that went up, right, of all of them looking like they were looking at The thing is that dumb place, Hillary Clinton with her mouth, you know, hand over her mouth. Osama bin Laden dead. There was a blackout during the raid on the bin Laden compound. The head of the CIA, Panetta, admitted yesterday that there was no live feed video footage of the raid on Osama bin Laden's compound, as further doubts emerged about the U.S. version of events. So they're beginning to change the story. So now I'm beginning to think, well, is Ulsterman right here? That essentially the military is beginning to leak information. Leon Panetta, director of the CIA, revealed that there was a 25-minute blackout during which the live feed from cameras mounted on the helmets of U.S. Special Forces was cut off. A photograph released by the White House appeared to show the president and his aides in the Situation Room watching the action as it unfolded. In fact, they had little knowledge of what was happening on the compound. Mr. Panetta said, once those teams went into the compound, I can tell you that there was a time period of almost 20 to 25 minutes where we really didn't know just exactly what was going on. And there were some very tense moments as we were waiting for information. We had some observation of the approach there, but we did not have direct flow of information to the actual conduct of the operation itself as they were going through the compound. Do you all need that link again? There it was. Yes, it was. Now, let's look at that again. Who is making the order for U.S. Special Forces? It's Leon Panetta. He's CIA. Who is sitting for the military in that photograph? Who's at the table? That's that admiral who's with the Obama cabal, and that's CIA. Gates is sitting there. What is Gates doing? The other military, the generals, where are they? And why are they not the ones right now who are out there talking about this? What is going on? This is a CIA operation. Look at the changes that are being made. Panetta is going over to defense. And Patriots is going to head CIA. What is that about? And bin Laden, as long as he was out there, was always a CIA asset. Always. Now that he's been brought off ICE and finally killed, and Obama's going to run with it, and believe me, he needed permission from, you know, Clinton and George Bush 1 to George Bush 2 to use the Osama card to save himself. And so now that is done, the CIA asset, which has been used to create these terror events all over the world, is dead, and Panetta's going over to defense, where he won't have access to the CIA. And the general is going to head up the CIA. So that means probably the long arm of the CIA is being cut off, not necessarily a coup within the administration. So I think it's quite interesting. So I'm not sure. That link is in there. But I think it's awfully suspicious. This next show from Alex Jones will also reaffirm that he was brought off ICE for political reasons. Yes, there are some other specific things that are a little alarming, particularly Hillary Clinton's statement linking bin Laden's death to the Arab Spring that's going on in the Middle East here. It is very strange comment from Clinton. Here she is talking about bin Laden's death, some of the first comments after that famous picture. The linkage was drawn by Secretary of State Hillary Clinton in her first statement on the master terrorist death on Monday. History would record that bin Laden's death had come at a time when peoples in the Middle East and North Africa were rejecting the extremist narrative and were standing up for freedom and democracy. You see how that was cleverly done? Bin Laden's death at the time when that stuff was going on in the Middle East, the grand deception from what is going on here in our country. And how can we stand here and say, look, the guy is illegal. Look at this ridiculous electronic document. He hasn't given us a document. And they're going to say, what? He just killed a master terrorist, and you're going to raise an issue of this birth certificate? It comes at a time when the Middle East is uprising? I mean, how convenient is this? And then Obama's advisor, John Brennan, says later, I would hope that the people of the Middle East will understand that the time for terror is over. All right, and one last thing here. If you had it all the time, Obama, what about Terry Lakin? And we cannot be quiet about Terry Lakin. That is just absolutely ridiculous. He's abused, and he was guileful, full of cunning and deceit at the press meeting. This is just unbelievable. And I'll tell you, I hope somebody like Donald Trump might be listening, and I hope that he will do. If he stops and is satisfied with this document, well, I'll tell you, he's nothing more than anybody else as part of the whole cabal. And he won't get our votes. You know, what can I say? This issue is just serious, and, you know, everybody's laughing about the whole thing, but it is. We're in war. We are in war. And that picture of all of them there together with Obama, whatever the drama is with him, whether he was dragged off the golf course or if this is the military coup from him, they are all war criminals right there. Whoever they killed in our name, they're all war criminals right there because of that one man is not legal, and they all know it. They all know it. Is that Exhibit A for the people? As we begin to bring down all of these people who have been basically just unbelievable misleading of people. You know, where I am right now, I'm encounter people who are helping my mother and so forth and so on. Some of them are from Africa and become citizens and are just delighted with this kill because so many people in Africa and in the embassies are embassies that were bombed by, quote-unquote, bin Laden had been killed. And, you know, while I wanted to give the support and, you know, say this is finally great, I'm sitting here thinking what an incredible deceit this kind of government, our government, has turned into. It's really unbelievable to me. It's unbelievable. Yeah, I don't know why anyone is quiet, but you know what? Alan West right now needs to show that he's a candidate by standing up for Lieutenant Colonel Terry Lakin. Alan West is on the Armed Services Committee. He has no business running around doing anything and being coy about president or vice president without standing up for one of his fellow soldiers. And I'd like to see by weeks out, he get a million letters telling him to stand the fuck up, excuse me. But this man has served his whole term. He's lost everything. And these people want to be coy about who's being president? I don't care right now who's president. I never, you know, thought anything about Trump as president. What I was focusing on is who's going to have the guts to stand up and take down the biggest target right now. So, you know, hopefully the military is coming out. I don't know. Yes, Alan West has to address this issue. He has to. Talk with everybody, please. I will probably write an open letter to Alan West on the blog sometime. Absolutely email, petition, everything we possibly can. Flood his office, flood his fax machine. Get off his ass, sir. Respectfully, sir. Get off your ass and get going for one of your soldiers. So, all right, sorry, I got kind of a little mad there. Anyway, I'm going to let this intelligence officer go ahead and make his case. It's about an hour long. I may have 5 minutes at the end of this, but if not, if I don't, I'll try to switch into some music or maybe extend the show a little bit, but only by a half hour. So if you have questions and so forth, go for it. And those who don't want to listeners, so forth, I'll probably put it up on my blog tonight, and it also is already up on the blog. So Here we go with Alex Jones, Dr. Steve Pizenik, and here we go. And I'll be back in about an hour.
Goosebumps with this next guest. It's just incredible information. In early 2002, I was put in touch with Dr. Steve Pizenik, and I'll give you his bio, very prestigious here in a moment. Working under the biggest kingmakers in modern U.S. history, the trifecta, James Baker, George Shultz, Henry Kissinger, and Cyrus Vance, but the big three. From all of our sources, George Shultz, James Baker, way above even Kissinger. That's why you don't even see them out there. And these are the guys that go right to the elite of the world and are their imperial legates, the people that speak for them, that make the deals with China, with Russia. They're the envoys. They're the above government power brokers that are the spokesmen of the collective elite and these top councils. And he was their deputy, all three of them, and Cyrus Vance as well, high-powered, all four of them. And I got him on the show, and he also a CFR fellow at the time. I got him on the show, and he just basically said this whole war on terror is a hoax. And he said the intel is they've got Bin Laden dead on ICE, and they're going to roll him out sometime in the future. And I said, ICE? He goes, literally. Now, then about a year later, at an event, I had a well-known Republican, part of the Bush administration, I mean, well-known enough that I knew who they were, call me aside at an event and say, listen, this is off record, because I was already known then as being somebody who can keep secrets if it's off record as a journalist. The more secrets you keep, the more secrets you get. That's why we get so many pour in. The MIAC, Homeland Security Reports, you name it, we're a regular WikiLeaks here. It's just that our info is real, not sprinkled like theirs. Now, Dr. Pizenik came on. And then Hades broke loose after he came on. He said he was on ICE and all this happened. And I looked up Pizenik. I mean, he was there with the Mujahideen, knew these people. Talk about somebody who's living history. I mean, he's seen so much of it. But then after I talked to one White House official and then another person well known to me got it from another White House source. I'm just going to leave it at that. So two sources that I actually talked to, one on air, one privately, and then the other through someone I know for decades who was told the same information. And they said, this isn't a rumor, right? And they said, no, he's dead. The intel was, it was a cover story, the kidney stuff. He reportedly was sick from that they went ahead and got rid of him because he was putting those letters out saying, I didn't do it. And they wanted to take his identity and have him say he did. But Dr. Pizenik can correct me if I'm wrong. And that they did send in special forces. So in a way, it's true. And they killed him and have had him literally frozen. Now they throw him in the ocean. You know, all this stuff comes out. It's just ridiculous. They put out photo 2 days ago that was fake. Now they say another one's coming. So all of this is happening. But a year after I talked to him, these other sources told me the same thing. And then about 6 months later, Madeleine Albright went on Fox News. We have links to all those articles and videos. In our article, Inside Sources, Bin Laden's corpse has been on ICE for nearly a decade. That has all the bibliography there for you. And I'm just prefacing this before we go to Dr. Pizenik because it's so important. A lot of folks are tuning in and watching right now, a record audience. That Madeleine Albright came out and said, the word is he's on ICE, use that same term, and they're going to be rolling him out for the election. Then Walter Cronkite, Bohemian Grove, super high level, hanging out with the top people. That's kind of the Democratic wing. They got word that this was going to happen if Bush needed it. Then Theresa Hines Carey came out as the proxy for her husband, and said, yeah, this is the word. So that scared Bush into not releasing it. By the way, I got threats over this, all sorts of dirty tricks when I was pushing this. And then it receded into history for another 6-7 years. And now it's back exactly the script we were told. So if you're a new listener, or if you're the Washington Post, or the New York Times, or New York Magazine, or L.A. Times attacking me over this, actually, a few of the articles are actually pretty fair, but some of them are ridiculous, like the New York Magazine or the Atlantic with Jeff Goldberg. They're attacking us in cartoonish ways. If you're doubting this, look at the history we already have. Benazir Bhutto coming out and saying, look, Bin Laden's dead. Stop using him as a pretext to be in Pakistan. A week later, she's killed. Our media says she hit her head, and then they release video of her being machine gunned by the assassin, and the word from Hamid Ghul and others, former head of Pakistani intelligence, is the White House pulled the trigger on her. Now our guests start telling us, and our experts start telling us, there's going to be a move against Pakistan the last month. Then they catch this CIA operative, CNN reports, with the uranium, trying to get it to Mujahideen, to then blame it on the regular army of Pakistan for to build the case to snatch their nukes, which will bring China in, folks. This could be World War III. So all of that's happening. You have all these other world leaders that have said this. Now, I'm going to try to now give the floor to our guest, Dr. Steve Pachenik, serve as Deputy Assistant Secretary of State and Senior Policy Planner under Secretaries Henry Kissinger, Cyrus Vance, George Shultz, talk about knowing where the bodies are buried, and James Baker. Dr. Pachenik continues to consult the Department of Defense. He received a Council on Foreign Relations Fellowship, where he was recruited by Lawrence Eagleburger as Deputy Assistant Secretary of State for Management. In the position he was, he created the Office of Combat Terrorism, the Family Liaison. And it just goes on for a long time. Dr. Pachenik is the author and creator of 26 New York Times bestsellers. His experiences in government, international crisis management were the basis of Tom Clancy's characters Jack Ryan and Richard Clark. And the website is stevepachenik.com. Pachenik, P-I-E-C-Z-E-N-I-K. StevePachenik.com. We'll get links up at Infowars.com. And we're going to skip this network break coming up. This is so important. Dr. Pachenik, thank you so much for coming on. I'm going to try to sit back, give you the floor to talk about what's currently happened, some of the history involved with these players. Bin Laden, who, going back to the interview that you intimately know, thank you for joining us.
It is a great pleasure and an honor. I want to thank you, Alex. I want to thank what you said. I think very much of what you said is very accurate. I will correct some of the issues that I think we've talked about, but I want to thank your audience for listening. I want to say how important Alex Jones was after 9/11, when I knew very well at that time that the American public was being deceived and was being treated as if we were fools, stupid, ignorant, and cheats. I had hoped at that time, once I was on the Alex Jones show, and I broke ranks with my people at the Council on Foreign Relations. I'm a member also of the Association of Former Intelligence Officers, the National Military Intelligence Association, and I volunteer repeatedly. I volunteered to still work with our military because, number one, I respect our military. Number two, we have sent men and women to wars which have not been clearly defined by civilians who have never been in war, including Clinton, including Bush Jr. in particular, who precipitated the wars into Iraq and Afghanistan, and now Obama. And I had hoped by that time in the past that we would have stopped fooling the American public and stopped creating an incursion into our own country, killing our own people. 9/11 has still not been fully explained, and it is not a conspiracy theory. It has nothing to do with all kinds of secrecy and cabal and any other issue. It has to do with a famous technique in warfare that we call stand down, false flag, deception, and denial. It was done during Pearl Harbor. Alex explained to you yesterday it was done by Hitler. It was done by LBJ during the war in Vietnam, where we had the Gulf of Tonkin, and he claimed that we had a false flag operation, and we had to shoot the Vietnamese because they shot it. That was wrong. Many men died for that. Many men went to war. And at the same time, we had a stand down and a false flag, which was told to me repeatedly by the people I worked with, including a very famous general that I will not repeat his name, to protect him until I go to a grand jury. Now, what I'm saying today is very important. I was a deputy assistant secretary under Nixon, Ford, and came under special and Carter. I resigned under Carter because I disagreed with the way he handled the hostage situation. I came back under Reagan to take down the Soviet Union, and I came back under Bush Sr. to work on Cambodia. I'm not a career foreign service. I'm not a career intelligence officer. I am what every American is. I'm a physician but I'm an entrepreneur. I create businesses, and I believe in the American way of life, which is very simple. The hope, the faith, the dedication, and the lack of interference in my job, in my pocketbook, and in my speech, and in the ability to say what I want to say by the government. That doesn't mean I'm a Tea Party member, I'm a liberal, or I'm a conservative, or I belong to any party. I am strictly an American, and I'm saying this to you as Americans. We have once again been deceived. I thought this would cease and desist by the time Bush Jr. was elected and thrown out. I had asked that Bush Jr. be indicted for war criminals, Cheney be indicted, Rumsfeld, Condoleezza Rice, Steve Hadley. It goes on and on and on. The issue now is we have brought to the forefront at a time when America is in deep peril economically, as Alex Jones has correctly explained to you, we are in deep peril because we are in two wars of which I have no idea why we're there. And I had warned even on the Alex Jones show 9 years ago, not we will go into Afghanistan and Iraq after the 9/11, and I predicted, and he was correct, Alex Jones, and you see it on your website, that Osama bin Laden would be dead and had been dead for over 7 months, not because special forces killed him, but because as a physician I had known that the CIA physicians had treated him, and it was on the intelligence roster, that he had Marfan syndrome. Now, many of you can look up on the internet Marfan syndrome. It's a disease, which is the genetic abnormality which Lincoln Abraham Lincoln had, and it was the disease of the cataract of the eye, of the coronary arteries, and what happens in that disease is that you have a very short lifespan. The fact that he had renal dialysis was not an issue of renal stones, which can be cured, and is not that serious or life-threatening, but he needed that dialysis machine, so he had to take it with him. It was not an accident that his number two man, El-Zawahiri, was a physician. It is not an accident that most leaders of terrorist organizations around the world are physicians. That's why I know them, because we understand our code of ethics and creed. Osama bin Laden died when we went into Afghanistan. General Tommy Franks had stated very clearly that he had died, and he made a slip. Now, we knew he had already died. By that time, by the time we had already gone into Afghanistan, he was, and in Pakistan, we knew he was dead. So the notion, when I came on the radio show in 2002 with Alex Jones, I said, listen, Osama bin Laden's dead. He's dead. There's no question about it. He had Marfan syndrome. It had nothing to do with special forces. He was used in the same way that 9/11 was used to mobilize the emotions and feelings of the American people in order to go to a war that had to be justified through a narrative that Bush Jr. created and Cheney created about the world of war terrorism. Now, I have been in that world for 30 years. During 30 years, we had never been attacked in America. I repeat it again. The question is not that we are safer now. We are we're not safer. The issue is, we had never been attacked up till 9/11 because Bush Jr., Cheney, Rumsfeld, and a group of other generals who were involved, who I know who they are and they know who I am, were decided that we had to mobilize the public in order to create a war on terrorism, which is an oxymoron. That war on terrorism no longer exists. We went into Iraq. Our military forces, and I have to tell you, I have the greatest respect for our military men, and I'm saying this to you, the generals, the colonels, the majors, and the captains, and I've been lecturing at the War College every year, be careful of the orders you receive from civilian presidents. I say it again, and listen to me. Be aware of the orders that you receive from civilian presidents like Bush, Clinton, and Obama, particularly presidents who have never served in a war and do not know what the consequences of the war are, and the number of men and women who die bravely for our country and our cause because some civilian has to manipulate his political career at the expense of the American public and at the expense of the bodies and the blood and guts of our warriors who are so important to us.
All right, doctor. Absolutely. Dr. Steve Pachenik is our guest. Yeah. We'll even have him a little bit in the next hour. He's very gracious. and I want to get more into that entire area that you were just raising. And I'm talking about my White House sources, so obviously they were probably given this info. I know that you said he was dying of the disease. I've seen the videos of him, and even 98, 99, he looked like somebody who was near death then, obviously very ill. The new photos they show us, the CIA even had to admit last year in Spy Talk in the Washington Post that they were fake videos. So it's on record they put fake videos out. I think that's very bold of them to tell the Washington Post, May 25th, 2010, Spy Talk, that they did fake them. We already knew that. We've seen the Adam Gadon videos uploaded in the same video layer as the Intel Center's logo. We've got Amaral Alaki, admittedly.
Alex, the key that Mr. Jones, the key question America has to ask again, and why I went back on your show, is this has much greater implication just than the distortions and lies that are created by the intelligence community. And believe me, I work with the intelligence community. The question is, why does that have to be done repeatedly in different administrations to the American public, particularly now with the president, as you said, who had the lowest ratings, whose historical background is in question. I'm not only talking about his birth certificate, forget that, his education, how he came to power, whom he represents, and particularly in a time when Wall Street and the bankers have gotten away with the greatest crime in the history of America. Nobody was indicted, and particularly at a time when I do not understand, I who've been in war, eight different times, why we are in Afghanistan and Iraq and why men and women are dying. So the issue becomes a little bit greater than the question of did the CIA or intelligence community doctor up this situation? The answer is yes, categorically yes. Anybody who tells you it's not is lying. This whole scenario where you see a bunch of people sitting there looking at a screen and they look as if they're intent, that's nonsense. It's a total makeup, make-believe. We're in an American theater of the absurd. The real issue is, why are we doing this again, Alex? Why 9 years later do I have to come on your show when I predicted 9 years ago this man was already dead? But it wasn't the issue of him. It was the issue of why does the government repeatedly have to lie to the American people who have worked so hard in order to justify their political existence when you basically have civilian leaders who are politicians.
Now, I understand. Dr. Pechenik, let me stop you because you're dropping bombshell after bombshell. You know, you're the right-hand man of Henry Kissinger, George Shultz, James Baker, Cyrus Vance.
I wasn't anybody's right-hand man. Let me tell you, I got thrown out of more places than you can imagine, my friend.
Well, my point is you've been right up there.
I've been there.
Underneath these guys, and it's on record that Tom Clancy's character, Jack Ryan, Patriot Games, is you. So you are...
They send me. That's correct.
Yes, I mean, you're the...
Richard Clark.
Absolutely. So, and we'll put an image of Jack Ryan up there. So that's the guy that we're talking to right now. And so, Doctor, you just brought out that incredible information, and we're trying to scramble to find the photo. It was up on Drudge for 2 days. It's gone now. But the photo, you can go to whitehouse.gov and find it, is of the president, you know, watches with his staff the operation against bin Laden, and Hillary's got her hand over her mouth.
Yes,
the men are all acting tough.
Yes.
You can see that that's a posing photo, and you've been at those levels. So break that down for us, Doctor.
Well, the breakdown is very simple. This is a man who decided he's going to have a photo opportunity. This is a man from the day he came in, it began with a lie. It began with a lie. I didn't know the man. I have nothing personally against him. I couldn't care one way or the other, but I did care, what is this man going to be as a president? If you're going to say one thing and do another, in my world, in the world of where I can say is a political operative, that's called a sociopath. That means that you say one thing, but you do everything differently. So when you look at a photograph of people looking intently as if they were amazed and bemused by an attack that may not have existed. If this was an attack and they attacked a mortuary, God bless them, because Osama bin Laden is totally dead. So there's no way they could have attacked or killed or confronted Osama bin Laden unless you believe in the resurrection of Osama bin Laden, and I don't. And if I could tell you 9 years ago, so let me break it through. You have a president, you have a chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Admiral Mullen, whose father was a publicist at the William Morris Agency, who is very much concerned about how he's going to leave the military as an admiral, all right? You have a president who is in deep, deep trouble, who has no idea of how to get us out of unemployment and has a disparity between the very rich and the very poor, where no banker in the history of this country, after stealing billions of dollars and coming back to the American public and asking us for bonuses, had never been arrested for this. Yet people who have cheated on their taxes or poor people who have not been able to get jobs are put in prison or are waiting on welfare. So we have a president who, the day he came in, picked up the Nobel Prize for Peace, where he had done nothing. Next day, turns around and declares war in Afghanistan. Even Bush Jr. didn't declare war in Afghanistan. And who's in Afghanistan right now? We're talking about a man, Karzai, whom I knew, and I was there at the house 20 years ago in Maryland, when this delicatessen owner from Silver Spring was ordered to come back. He was a CIA operative, as I remembered him, and was put into a position where we have nothing but corruption, destruction, and basically the killing of our own people. Then we have the Pakistani allies, who they have now irritated, this Obama, and then we have Panetta, who's not in that picture. The most important of those men, who was ordered, this is the great key order. Obama wants to tell you how resolute he was, because everybody said he was indecisive. So in order to make sure he looks resolute, he orders Panetta, a nice liberal who had been a Republican.
Stay there, Dr. Pechenik, stay there. Back in 3 minutes, this is key info, and we'll go back to bin Laden's death and give us any more evidence of that. He has written 26-plus New York Times bestsellers, stevepechenik.com. It's on record, a high-level government position under multiple presidents, under Secretary of State's. Involved in black ops all over the world with the Mujahideen. I want him to talk about some of that history briefly before we look at currently what's happening, because obviously to know what's coming in the future and what's happening in the present, we need to know the past. Those that don't know history are doomed to repeat it because the cliche rings true. But remember, this is the character that they created Jack Ryan out of in Tom Clancy's books, and that's on record. That's how respected he is, and he has a lot of courage. And I know you probably don't want to get into this now, but you did get a lot of heat when you came on my show, and I know you'll probably get heat again right now, but you're not some small fry out there saying that bin Laden was dead. And what you talked about on my show was confirmed by people in the White House, high level. And then separately, years after that, Madeleine Albright, former Secretary of State, came out and said it. Benazir Bhutto, the president of Pakistan, said it. So when the Washington Post and everybody makes fun of us right now and has these articles out, some of them wouldn't even quote you. They just said that Jones claimed he had a source from the State Department when it was on record. The Atlantic Monthly dare not mention it. They link to some Cheech and Chong blog that I have nothing to do with in some attempt to just mislead their readers. Jeff Goldberg, who when he wasn't a Israeli prison guard, he was running around engaged in his regular activities. So I guess Israel doesn't like what I'm doing. I don't know why. I mean, I'm not in their business. But let's go back, because this is what the media is going to be calling you about and myself about. Let's go back specifically. You've got all these intel connections. You've worked with the biggest heavy hitters there are. You're famous in intelligence and analysis. The Jack Ryan's your character, the guy that doesn't play games. And in the real world, you're actually telling it like it is. 9 years ago, April 22nd, on this show, and then everything you've talked about has now been backed up in triplicate. And now we have this latest PR stunt with them, with the photo op with Hillary covering her mouth. I mean, this looks like a photo where you tell your kids, smile, say cheese. Break down, sir. Take your time with the intel, with the CIA reports you were reading, with as much proof as you can give us without giving up your sources, of knowing that bin Laden was dead and when he reportedly died, so that we can look at the big news story now in context of why they've launched this hoax today.
Well, let me just say, the issue of why he was dead, it was exactly what I said before. He died of Marfan syndrome. Bush Jr. knew about it. The intelligence community knew about it. CIA had already sent a physician way before under the Clinton administration to see him at the American Hospital in Dubai. He was already very sick from Marfan syndrome, and he was already dying. So nobody had to kill him. He had Al-Zawahiri, who was a physician with him, who is still a physician. I don't know where he is. But we knew he was already dead by 9/11. It was very clear that he was dying. At Tora Bora, he probably died. Tommy Franks, general, said accidentally that he died. But the point was, he was already dead by the time I talked to you. Why is it relevant now? Again, as I said, why is the fiction and the narrative of the psyops of America against the American people so important? It's number one, as you said so clearly to your public, and they understand it. Number one, we're viewed as idiots and stupid, and Americans are not seen as very bright by our politicians. Secondly, basically the president was in very deep trouble, as you said, economically, politically. He was on the bottom. He had the birther issue come out. He proved, he said he was American, but now he had to prove that he was more than American. He was more American than American. He had to be aggressive. At the same time, you had an admiral who had really not done very well as chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, who had made some serious gaffes by giving a Medal of Honor to Greg Mortensen, who lied, going into Pakistan saying he had built schools for women and looked like a fool. You have Panetta, who really caused a lot of civilian damage in the Pakistan area, and the Pakistanis were furious with him because what he claimed was the CIA, quite frankly, without telling you a great secret, it's already an open source intelligence. About 80% of the CIA presently is not involved in intelligence. It is involved in what's called Operation Killing, Special Ops, and that means that many of the Special Forces soldiers have been shifted over to the CIA. Well, used to be in the old office, SOLIC, Special Operations Low Intensity Conflict, but they have a new office, and Panetta was really just killing people right and left with the drones and creating a lot of friction and a major alienation between the American the generals and the Pakistani generals, the ISI. Third, lastly, we have a foreign policy that didn't work under Hillary Clinton, as you know, like Condoleezza Rice. She probably booked in more miles than any other Secretary of State and was totally incompetent. She was not able to preempt, to really be able to figure out any strategic assessments or analysis of what happened in the Middle East or predict the uprising in Syria, in Libya, Tunisia, and was really not able to hold out and was not competent. So you have a whole series of administrative people, both civilian and military, who are not competent. And they had to show that they could really prove some sense of competency at a time when there was in a re-election. And it's a really, as nature, it's the very sense of a political expediency. As to what the Washington Post says and the New York Times, I don't particularly care. I never have. I never will. It's not relevant to me. It may be relevant to you, but I don't think it's relevant to the American public. They don't read it. They don't care about it. Quite frankly, more people listen to Alex Jones than they read the New York Times. There's no question in my mind. Having said that, it was a very politically expedient factor for the president to say, I'm going to get reelected. I've shown my firmness. I've shown I'm an American. I've shown that I can turn around the economy, which he hasn't. Secretary of State Hillary can say, look, we accomplished the end of a major significant movement in the war on terrorism, which they haven't, because from a tactical and an intelligence assessment point of view, this has not changed the game whatsoever. There are no terrorists really right now in Afghanistan. The only terrorists right now are being supported by Al-Haqqa, which is supported by the Pakistani Inner Service Intelligence, what Gore said to you last night, which ironically is being supported by the CIA. And even Al-Haqqa have been reporting back to our intelligence operatives saying, what in God's name is going on? We're being paid by our own CIA, your CIA, through the ISI to kill your soldiers. Now, if you can explain that to me, you're going to have to explain that to the American public. And that's what I meant by deception and denial that's been going on for three administrations, Clinton, Bush, and this administration. It has to stop. What else has been happening? The Pakistanis are so furious, what you heard last night, that Panetta had created all these problems, and they don't like General Petraeus. By the way, I happen to like General Petraeus. I think he's been a good general. He's been quiet. He's been doing what he was ordered to do, not what he initiated to do. And we have to differentiate our military from civilian control. And that's one of the reasons why I work with our military and not the civilian government. I offer and donate my time to our military because they're the most serious institution that we have left in the United States, and they're being treated very poorly. Both on the battlefield without the necessary resources, and when they come back as veterans without any benefits, and now they have no mental health benefits, they have no physical benefits, and we're having the cheapest amount of labor given to these veterans who have served our country honorably. So what I'm saying to you very clearly is, this is a civilian psyops game that continues from presidency to presidency. We in the United States can no longer have two-party systems where we have a Republican and a Democrat, where it really is not functioning very well, and it's costing the American public a fortune in both blood and guts and money. We've spent over $333 billion, approximately $50 million for every so-called terrorist that was taken out of Afghanistan, which were about 2,000 terrorists. Now, if you can find me 2,000 more terrorists in Pakistan, I will give you a couple of more million, because they don't exist. Karzai, the Pakistanis, have worked together to make sure that we are not able to acquire any assets there. Now, what does this result to? We're not going to go to World War III, but what's happening is another form of economic warfare has entered, and that is China, who has benefited from all of what we have done, the dysfunctional behavior and the misassessment and the lack of strategy and the lack of leadership and the disasters that we have created with the drones and our CIA so-called operations where we've killed civilians. We've alienated the Pakistanis, who in turn have invited the Chinese to come down and work with them both militarily and economically. And what has Karzai said publicly? I don't want the Americans here because he already has raped and ripped us of about $3 billion a day, a week. And at the same time, he has asked the Chinese to come in and invest in Afghanistan. Now, that's the reality.
And by the way, Karzai's brother on record is the biggest opium dealer in Afghanistan. Now, looking at this, I talked to you earlier during the break, and you said you heard General Hamid Ghul, former head of Pakistani intelligence, on, and that you had to agree with what he said. You just alluded to that.
Right.
But specifically, let's go into your history, because you know the entire, or much of the entire leadership of Pakistan and Afghanistan from the Afghan war with the Russians.
Yes. Thank you, Alex. That's very kind of you. I really know them way before the Afghan war. I was involved in the major hostage situation in Washington called the Hanafi Muslim. I was brought in by Earl Silbert when 350 hostages were taken in Washington, and I was able, through 36 hours of negotiating against the orders of Carter. I actually threw out Jimmy Carter outside. So you can see I don't always acquiesce to a civilian controller or president. And basically there was a very important gentleman who worked with me named Yaqub Khan. Yaqub Khan was the foreign minister of Pakistan, was our ambassador to the United States, but was the father of the Pakistani army. As a result of that, I got to know the various generals throughout his ranks, who they were, and he talked to me about Elzia, Musharraf, Benazir Bhutto, her father, what would happen. So I intimately got to know both the military elements of this incredible army that was trained under General Yaqub Khan, and a friend of mine was also the head of the Islamic Brotherhood. Believe it or not, we went to MIT together. So I knew all of these elements, and I knew they were extremely sensitive to our relationship with America. And at the time, they were useful in the fight against the Soviet Union. But at the same time, I was clearly warned very early on that they would turn against us and basically have a blowback, which you've talked about in the past. So using Yaqub Khan, I knew exactly where the elements were, the concerns they had about the CIA continuously supporting the Interservice Intelligence Agency, the fact that the ISI was getting out of control, was no longer under military or civilian control in Pakistan, and was beginning to form their own so-called groups, or we call terrorist groups, as a forefront to making sure that Pakistan had a ancillary army, or basically an auxiliary army or paramilitary unit that could fight against India. And one of the things your audience has to understand, Pakistan's greatest obsession right now is not with the Taliban or Haqqa. Those are the groups that they support even till today.
It's with India.
With India. That is correct, Alex. India is their greatest obsession. And I would speak to the general and other Pakistani officials and explain to them, look, India is not an issue for you. India is twice the size you are. They have twice the number of nuclear warheads. You have 600,000 soldiers. At that time, they had 2.2 million. Kashmir is not an issue. Nevertheless, India, Pakistan to this day has felt very strongly that India is sending down operatives through the Chinese and other Soviets into Afghanistan and are using those operatives in order to get a possession into Afghanistan. And at the same time, Pakistan feels that India is infiltrating the Kashmir. So there's a whole other scenario which we have not been able to handle. When Richard Holbrooke was brought in as the envoy to the South Asia, he was told you can handle anything you want, but you will not touch Pakistan and India or Kashmir. That was cut out. So from a foreign policy point of view, we have never had the strong hand or the foresight of, let's say, whatever you think of Kissinger or Baker, who could very forcefully say, no, that's not going to happen. Or we have the strategic sense under various other presidents where we knew exactly where we wanted to go. Like Bush Sr. said, we're not going into Iraq. It wasn't a question. He was afraid of Saddam Hussein, or he wasn't, or it was unfinished work. Bush Sr. was brilliant in foreign policy. We had taken down the Soviet Union quietly. We had taken down East Germany quietly. We had taken down apartheid quietly. And we had taken down Debussan, a whole bunch of other countries. Not one word was said. When his son came in, he said, I don't listen to my father. We said, good God, what an incredibly incompetent, arrogant individual. Yet his father never said a word. So when you have a man like Bush Sr. who's able to control and direct both the intelligence community, the CIA, under whom Bob Gates, who is an excellent Secretary of Defense, and I'm sorry to see him go because I think that's a great loss to our country. He has really tried to control and direct our Defense Department in the right way and cut back programs that were not necessary, the F-22, the stealth, and really provide our special forces with the necessary equipment they needed. We're going to lose a very valuable man. In turn, I have very big questions about Panetta and his capabilities. I do not think he performed well at the CIA. I think he exacerbated a very serious situation with the Pakistanis, and I think General Petraeus will have a hard time because it's a military man coming into a civilian organization, which General Eisenhower once said about the CIA, you need a certain kind of genius to run that organization. So right now, what's happening is civilian control, which is both untutored, undisciplined, and without a history of any military or intelligence expertise, is now going forward. There's one more reason why Osama bin Laden came out of the dead, so to speak, the resurrection, or the PSYOP's resurrection of Osama bin Laden. And that is, for the first time, you've heard people like Clapper and the director of the National Intelligence Organizations and say that the Center for Counterterrorism and all the intelligence organizations, which amount to God knows how many now, have really worked together and effectively. So it's a justification to say that under Obama, we have really integrated our intelligence community so that we effectively can kill and we're able to kill a dead man, in my opinion, that Osama bin Laden was dead.
All right, let me ask you this question, sir. And again, if you just joined us, yes. Dr. Steve Pachinik, stevepachinik.com. The man that Tom Clancy's novels are based on, author and creator of 26 New York Times bestsellers. He was the Deputy Assistant Secretary of State and or Senior Policy Planner under Secretaries Henry Kissinger, Cyrus Vance, George Shultz, and James Baker. Dr. Pachinik is also, as you heard, a medical doctor, continues to consult to the Department of Defense, is also a Council on Foreign Relations fellow. You heard him, and he said it 9 years ago that they would do this. This is the PSYOP resurrection of Osama bin Laden. We'll find out exactly why. It isn't just about the re-election of... And that's what bin Laden is. He knows your anger. He knows your pain. He's that 6'4" boogeyman with a scary turban and the beard and the evil eye. And now we've had a victory. Man, America's coming together. Yeah, as the gas prices explode, as all of this tyranny unfolds, as, the Chinese are dumping more treasuries. They're talking about the U.S. losing its AAA rating. That's back in the news today. They say when they switch it, it may go to a C grade. That's CNBC. This is the country going into cardiac arrest, but we've got the royal wedding. We've got the bin Laden situation. And here is a very high-powered author, researcher, State Department, a former official, CFR fellow, breaking everything down, breaking ranks with the establishment to warn you. Now, larger than just Obama, sir, and the reelection, I mean, that's all scripted, that's clear. Why else are they doing this? Because we see the frame-up now of Pakistan going into high gear saying bin Laden was at this house.
Well, one of the reasons they're doing it so that they basically can pull out of Pakistan, they can try to leave Afghanistan and Iraq with the sense that there was a victory. There is no victory because there was no clear designation as to what the war would accomplish. We have no idea what the war accomplished other than 10 years of wasted bodies and brave men and women and $333 billion a year. Secondly, we've now have a very serious economic issue with unemployment still up, exceedingly high, much higher than the designations. We have a banking crisis that hasn't been resolved. In 3 years, we've had banks after bank, Chase, Morgan Stanley, J.P. Morgan and Chase, Bank of America, all of them have committed crimes beyond the reason of the doubt. If you look at the Banking Commission report that's done by our own federal government, they indict them. And there's basically no attention to them, and nobody has even been prosecuted. And Obama went back to them yesterday and asked them for more money. They're going to raise $1 billion. We're also in a position where we are not doing very well in the international arena. We have literally lost our basic strategic superpower position. Although we have a large army, we're basically in the same position that the British military was in the 1900s, a very large army without a strategy, without a cause, and without a country. I often said to our military, we have an army without a country, and I say to our country that we have a country without a military, because right now it's costing us a fortune. We have no benefits derived from it. There are no enemies that we have other than the internal security of our country, which depends really on the debt, as you clearly said, and our financial growth, which is very low, 2-3%, and the fact that our bond ratings will be downgraded perhaps to a C or whatever the levels are. We have further problems. We have the notion that a system is not working, and that's what I keep coming back to since I said 10 years ago when we had Bush Jr., now we have Obama. We elect people who are basically panderers without any history of accomplishment, without any history of success, other than the fact that they pandered their way and agreed to acquiesce to anybody who's giving them money or power and represent other interests. Now, I'm not degrading anybody. I've treated politicians, and I've worked with them. But basically, the notion of a politician servicing the United States of American needs is absurd. We don't need these people anymore, and if we think we do, then we're mistaken, because we're going to keep going on from administration to administration, from lie to lie, and from incompetence to incompetence. All of these people are reshuffled again. You have Panetta, who was in the Clinton administration, was not a great performer, now coming in from the CIA, where he was dysfunctional, to now heading up the Secretary of Defense.
Stay there. We've got the real live Patriot Games, Jack Ryan, Dr. Steve Pachinik, going into overdrive. Stand by. Infowars.com. Ask yourself, what are you doing in this time of great challenge? What are you doing to unlock minds? Into the fourth hour. We're going to take your phone calls later in the hour. If you have any questions or comments for Dr. Steve Pachinik, The toll-free number to join us is 800-259-9231. But please, focus, serious questions about the whole Osama bin Laden garbage. 800-259-9231 is the toll-free number to join us. Doctor, talking at the end of the break, I was asking there, what is the goal? We know it's a re-election kickoff. We can see the scripting, the choreographing, the ridiculous, we threw bin Laden in the ocean, the 6 years he's in Pakistan. Obviously, they want to start framing Pakistan, putting pressure on them. They caught the CIA guy reportedly with the uranium, trying to get it to militants in some type of, you know, way to put pressure on Pakistan's nuclear program. But what are the other reasons for them doing this? Because I'm scanning the news here while we're live, and 48 hours into this, it's completely turning around against them, and hoax, 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 hoax is the byword. They're on Facebook everywhere trying to block and ban people like I've never seen on their own Facebook saying it's a hoax. It looks like a rout is beginning. And, folks, I don't just say things like a cheerleader. I'm telling you now, this looks like a rout of this hoax. That's why they're now saying they're going to try to release a real photo. Dr. Pachinik.
Well, I think you're absolutely right, Alex. One of the things that the politicians never calculated on is that the American public is a lot smarter than the politicians. Let me repeat that again. I think we, the American people, are a lot smarter. We could smell a PSYOPs operation. We could smell the fake. We could smell when it's orchestrated. And this is orchestrated. I mean, when you have people sitting around and watching a sitcom, basically the operations center in the White House, and you have a president coming out almost zombie-like telling you that they just killed Osama bin Laden, who was already dead 9 years ago. And people are aware of shows like yours, quite frankly. Alex, you've been a very important part of inserting the truth in a time when most media was really going to the common denominator and the lowest. The fortunate part is that thank God for the alternative media and thank God for the American public. They're a lot smarter. And the world public's a lot smarter. I understand that you're listened to in the Middle East by millions of people. You've offered them a lot of facts. There's nothing you really said that I didn't agree with 9 years ago. And when I said to you, Osama bin Laden's dead because they need to get out of there, they need to have a conclusion where the president's getting real at all the issues we talked about, now the American public is saying, you know, we're tired. We're sick and tired of the nonsense that was given to us by Clinton, by Bush, and certainly now by Obama. We want jobs. We want to manufacture. We don't want to be overseas. We want to develop our own country. We want to know that we can be proud of what we've done and forget the rest of the world where we're making up wars that don't exist and terrorists who never were. And the TSA, as you said, who's reaching down to your pants and are not really required. I've never seen anything like this in my whole life. So the answer is, one issue that's very important is that the American public has to understand these people are not smarter than the American public. They're just not. They may believe they're smart. If you look at the background of Osama bin Laden, he did not do very well in school. He was at two-year college, which was not very good. He didn't do that well in Columbia, and I think he got into Harvard on affirmative action. But the real issue is, and his own wife was in on affirmative action, I think the real issue is that we have the same benefits that he had, I think we would have achieved so-called elite status. But the bottom line is very simple. The American public is a lot smarter. Anybody who has to work on a day-to-day basis, whether I'm in Montana or on the East Coast, you've got a farm. You've got to build, you have a mechanic shop. You're a trucker. You've got to figure out exactly what the cost of goods are, what the profit margins are, and how you can pay your income. These guys in Congress and the Senate have never had to do that. If you look at the benefits of what they have and you look at the White House benefits of what they have, we basically have a royalty and a kingship. We didn't have a wedding in England. What we had was a marriage of the absurd and the psyops here in America when bin Laden was just resurrected in this greatest falsehood I've ever heard. I mean, it was absurd.
Stay there, Dr. Pachinik, the real-life Jack Ryan of the Patriot Games with us now. We'll be right back to continue breaking this down. Who knows? We'll just keep him the whole hour if he can do it and take your phone calls. We've got a lot more to talk about breaking this down. We'll be right back. Dr. Steve Pachinik is a board-certified psychiatrist. That's the medical doctor end of the whole system. And he was a psychological warfare expert, chief, brought in by the Pentagon against the Russians, you name it. He is the character that Jack Ryan and others, Tom Clancy, is based on. That's on record from Tom Clancy. He himself is the author and creator of 26 New York Times bestsellers and the advisor on many of Clancy's books. You can see all of that at stevepachinik.com. So you, folks always wonder why Tom Clancy knows so many inside things end up happening later. Here's one of his chief guys giving him the intel. I know you don't like to talk about yourself, but you are an interesting person, and it also goes to credibility. You know, here you are 9 years ago and change, 9 years and a month, April 22nd, 2002, and you say he died of this disease. I saw it in the CIA documents, the disease he had. This is the word. I have this from inside sources. You're a CFR fellow at the time. You've worked under James Baker, George Shultz, Cyrus Vance, Henry Kissinger as Deputy Assistant Secretary of State and Senior Policy Planner under those secretaries.
Right.
And here you are saying Bin Laden's dead, and he's on ice to be rolled out later. Then two other White House sources tell me the same thing. Years later, then Albright comes out on Fox. All these other things happen, and I mean it's important for folks to hear some of your background to understand that now we're here, we're living it, we're seeing it. And then before we go to some calls, I want you to specifically. Again, because you keep saying, well, you know, they're not as smart as you think they are, why they're doing it, why they think they came out with this ridiculous Bin Laden announcement that's so cartoonish that is blowing up in their face. The foreign media, the domestic, it is just overwhelming the inconsistencies. Even the Washington Post and others are like, well, they're conspiracy theorists, but it is weird that they threw him in the ocean. It is weird there were fake photos. It is weird they claim they killed him 8 other times. I was talking to the Washington Post lady, and she was like, everybody in the office doesn't believe it. She was giggling, and I said, do you understand? This isn't funny. They lied about WMDs. They lied about it all, and we're in a very serious time. But tell folks a little bit about yourself. I mean, give us a snapshot of your career.
Very quickly, I went to Harvard and MIT at the same time, not because I was so smart, but because Harvard wasn't as good as I thought it was. I got a psychiatric degree at Harvard and a PhD in international affairs under Lucian Pai. I was trained in psychological warfare, propaganda, counterintelligence, counterterrorism. I went right into the State Department working for Lawrence Eagleburger and became the head of the Office of Combat Terrorism. I created that. I worked against Arafat as a terrorist, and then years later I worked with Arafat as a statesman. So one of the things you have to remember in the world of terrorism, that today's terrorist is tomorrow's statesman. That was true of Menachem Begin. That was true of many of the terrorists that we worked with and now became statesmen. It was true of our own founding fathers who were created as terrorists and now come out as statesmen. I then went on to remain in the Carter administration, where I was involved in the regime change of Aldo Moro. I neutralized the Red Brigade, the P2 scandal. I indicted Berlusconi then. I'm sorry he ever came back. I left under Carter. I resigned, refused to go to Iran because I had Ramsey Clark there, and I thought it would be a disaster. I went on then to create businesses. My real love and this country's great love, why I feel I'm a very strong American, is that I am an entrepreneur. I am what we call an angel investor. I use my own money to create businesses and start them up and build them. Not because it's the money. I'm more than happy to lose the money. It's because only in America can I do what I've done all the time, which is be able to create a business like radio frequency identification, the Tom Clancy franchises, the TV shows, even radio shows. And now I'm doing nutraceuticals and I'm doing orphan drugs. And be able to succeed or fail, not by definition of money, but by definition of criteria that we built assets. I was not interested in pushing papers or money back and forth, but I was interested in serving my country, which I really served for free and most of the time. I was promoted to colonel at a very early age of 32. I refused promotion to general, brigadier general at 37, because I felt not that I wanted to be in the Army, but I felt I could serve my country best by going back out into public service and into private service and then offer my services for free, make my money outside on my own, and then come back and serve my country through the military and other organizations and be able to go overseas for our country and offer strategic advice if they listen to it. If not, I came back under Reagan and worked on the Soviet Union. I was out at the RAND Corporation for a year under a man called Richard Solomon, who brought me in to say develop the Soviet takedown the psychological operation we were involved. Bush Sr. was really, under Reagan, the really impetus for the takedown of the Soviet Union, East Germany. I then came back under Bush Sr., and I was involved in the bringing the peace treaty under James Baker to bring a regime change under Pol Pot without using any wars, without using any soldiers. My point is, most of the things that I've done, and I've done a lot in the Middle East against Habash, Hawatme, even in the Gaza Strip where I work with the PLO, against the PLO, and where, ironically, and this will be a soft spot for the Israelis, in 88 I was sent out by Schultz to find out what was going on with the PLO, and I found out that the Shin Bet of Israel in 88 was creating a group called Hamas, which was used as a counterforce to the PLO, and of course, eventually everybody learned that Hamas had a blowback, and now the Israelis have created their own Frankenstein. The point being that we are not the only country in the world to create our own Frankensteins through Al-Qaeda, which was really the Mujahideen before. I was involved with that under the Carter administration, subsequently another administration, but so was Israel involved in creating...
Did you ever, to interrupt, Doctor, did you ever meet Osama bin Laden?
Yes, I saw him in Afghanistan very briefly, but I was more involved with other operational concerns, particularly the Pakistanis.
What was his role in the war against the Russians, and what was he like when you did meet him?
Well, I didn't know him very well. Basically, I knew he was sick at the time. I knew he had renal disease, and I knew he had Marfan. Said you could see that. But basically, the guys who were CIA operatives said he had a supportive role there, and he was financing most of the elements there. My interest was really more strategic.
Yeah, he was more of the Saudi Arabians' man in the field with the money delivery?
Correct. That was the understanding. That's exactly correct. He was not, from my point of view, he was not the keystone of the operations there. That really was a CIA operation. Most people think I worked with the CIA. I was not in the CIA, but that's neither here nor there. Even though I was a member of the CFR, I'm also a member of the Association of Foreign Intelligence Officers and National Military Intelligence Association. So all these associations may mean something to you, may not, but I'm primarily an American.
No, I understand, and it must be horrifying for you, Doctor, to know that like the royal wedding, worshiping people that, you know, who hereditarily got their power, who you have to get a, you know, imperial mark in the past to be able to even have a business. Our forefathers and mothers came here to be able to build their own businesses, follow their own dreams, and now we see Obama giving thousands of waivers to select corporations that give him money. General Electric heads up his economic board. They get waivers for their coal plants and then shut down their competition. We're really entering this crony monopoly system. That's got to be horrifying for you.
Well, it's more than horrifying. It's called crony capitalism, and the banking episode was really beyond the pale for me. I was totally shocked, disgusted, and I was waiting for people to get indicted, and I still hope people will be indicted. Crony capitalism cannot work, whether it's with Republicans, Democrats, or independents. It cannot work. We have to stop it as Americans. This must stop in this administration and any future administration. So please do not believe any politicians who come to you and tell you they believe in something, whether they're Republicans or Democrats, they're all full of BS, because all they care about is their own narcissism, their own desire for power. Very few people are really interested in serving the government, and then they would leave without pay. I really have never found any of these people, except in my case, I found Bush Sr., I found Baker, who really didn't need money, even Vance on both sides. But most people that I knew were very power hungry. In this administration, you have a president who's totally incapable of telling the truth.
Well, what about those narcissistic photos with them all posing? I mean, you can see they did it over and over again until they got it. But shifting gears back to this key issue, there you are, this guy high level in these Republican administrations, the son of someone you say you admire and who, from your perspective, is a good guy, obviously hardworking and intelligent, George Herbert Walker Bush, any way you slice it, when he didn't become the CIA director, you know, out of whole cloth, folks.
You know why he became CIA director? Even Jeb Bush didn't know that. He became CIA director because Donald Rumsfeld wanted to neutralize him from running for the presidency. And for 20 years, most people don't realize, neither Cheney or Rumsfeld were allowed in the White House because they tried to neutralize the future of this quiet man who never promoted himself. I remember his saying to me and others that I never speak about myself because my mother wouldn't let me.
What? Was that the end? My goodness. Anyway, that was a very interesting show. Thank you very much, Alex Jones and Dr. Steve Pezenek, I believe. Excuse me. Through the chat and through some online discussions, some ideas are just been coming up. You know, this is good to talk about PSYOPs, really, because that's what this is, in my view, is a big PSYOPs operation. Of course, hiding the birth certificate, hiding his illegality is one, but this is really, really serious against our country. But right now, I believe, honestly, I'm thinking that if the military is leaking this information, Panetta is being forced to change his view, then maybe the Ulsterman report is correct, that, in fact, the military is beginning to turn on the Obama administration and we will begin to see some light. You know, seriously, all of those people sitting in the room in that White House photo, whoever they killed, and making up a photo like that, you know, that's a war crime. Not only because Obama's ineligible, but they're all just going wild. Panetta is making decisions involving our U.S. forces. Panetta is completely incompetent, in my view. It is just beyond. I think there should be an examination of congressional evaluation of that picture and what they were doing. And again, I think this is an interesting feature for me, is I think this all may have started with Obama being locked out after he came back from Brazil, after he followed international orders then to launch missiles into Libya. And our forces were involved in that. How many people did they kill? See what we're dealing with here? Everybody could go to The Hague. See if there's any more out there. Yes, let's get them all on record right now. Let them go ahead and keep defending what they're doing. And let's get the whole thing on record. Any other questions out there? Have no idea who was hunched in the corner of the room. Thank you very much all for coming. I'm going to try to find a good song for you this evening to close up. We have just about 2 minutes left. Any other questions out there? Anything in particular you'd like to hear? I know one I'd like to hear. It's always one that I enjoy because it's us. I am America. And if I can find it, here we go. Thank you very much for joining me tonight. Please be sure to be here for Walls in Our Minds tomorrow night. I think there's going to be possibility that Anne Barnhart might be on the woman who burned the Quran and has called out Obama on his birth certificate. Thank you very much. Have a good evening.